B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, April 22nd, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll talk about the first week of Street Fighter League and give our thoughts on the format. Plus, with Endgame now only 3 days away, we've got a list of the MCU movies ranked from worst to best, and we'll try to guess which ones made the top five. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today by playing a little bit of catch up from the weekend. It was a busy esports weekend, but it was also Game of Thrones weekend and Easter as well. Joining me to help break down this marginally important discussion is the Checkpoint XP crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Norris Howard.
I'm out.
And Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
Wow, out before we started. All right, cool.
right off the bat, let's start to the show.
Yeah, great.
I want this week to just blaze by.
Listen, let me talk. There was a movie that came out that starred Adam Sandler called Click, and it was garbage. It was hot trash.
I'm fascinated to see where this conversation
I know exactly
where
it's going.
The whole premise was he wanted to skip all the boring and unimportant moments in his life, and he learned that you shouldn't do that. It's those boring, unimportant moments while you wait for the big moments that actually matter most.
Joe,
shut up. To hell with that. I want my remote control, and I want it to be Thursday.
All right. Well, yes, this is a big week for all of us nerds. First of all, on Game of Thrones, we thought the Battle of Winterfell would be commencing this week.
No.
Turns out, it's
what we got was still great.
We're going into a much larger battle between the MCU and Game of Thrones, and it's a battle for our attention.
Yeah, it's going to be insane. I don't know.
It is going to be emotionally more than some people can handle.
There are going to be people who are like. So, you know, like when
some people might lose it.
Yeah, fandoms are going to crumble.
At the end of Breaking Bad, there were people on Twitter who were clearly not ready for that show to end, even though it was definitely time for that show to end. But there were people who probably could have ended it
one season earlier, but that's besides the point.
There are going to be people who, after Endgame and the Battle of Winterfell, are just going to be like second only to St. Patrick's Day, we're going to see the most people call in sick from work on Monday.
It's really going to be an epic weekend, for all kinds of fandom. We've got the culmination of the Infinity storyline. We've got probably the battle with the largest stakes going down in Game of Thrones.
Yep.
And then whatever else is going on in esports.
I'm sure there'll be some things that happen in sports too.
I'm sure.
Got the NFL draft on Thursday. It'll be the first year I ever just blatantly don't tune into that because I'm gonna be busy at Endgame.
That might be the smallest draft crowd ever.
Yeah, like draft night kicks off on Thursday night at like 8 o'clock.
Ooh. I'm planning on condensing all of my pain into one 24-hour period because I'm gonna go see Endgame on Sunday, and then of course Sunday night, you've got the Battle of Winterfell. But so I'm just gonna lump all of that in together.
How are you gonna avoid spoilers for that?
I am going to just go on social media.
Just black out.
Hide in his closet. And you won't come out till his alarm rings.
That's the thing. Yeah, not even.
It's
just
not
like,
hard. I have complete and total contempt for social media anyway.
Right, but I mean, like, just in general, your phone. Just leave it plugged in by your bed and go do something else.
That's the thing. Like, when I go on social media silence, I literally just play City Skylines.
Yeah.
Because it's not connected to the internet. I don't need anything. People can't even come in and interfere with my game through voice chat or text or something like
that. A couple years ago, I was trying to stay in the bubble for the NFL draft because I couldn't attend. I couldn't go out with my friends and watch it at Buffalo Wild Wings. So I was like, all right, whatever. I'll just watch it when I get home. Literally, I make it through the entire night on radio silence, and as I'm getting out of my car, phone vibrates, ESPN update, Lions draft. Like, that's like all the time. I'm like, I literally was on my
first
way out of the car.
You got to stop with the ESPN push notifications.
I think that is the night that I did stop my ESPN push notifications. I only have them for esports now.
Even that.
I just have that because I think it's kind of cool.
No, yeah, it is.
It's cool getting ESPN push notifications for like TSM versus Team Liquid. That's pretty sweet.
That's pretty cool. No,
so
I'll admit.
So it was a holiday weekend on top of everything else.
Was it?
Yeah. What was going on with you guys? Joe, what were you doing?
So I did go spend Easter with Sarah's family because basically I was...
They be cooking,
and my family was celebrating way downriver, and I didn't want to make the drive, so I told them that I was working.
Oh, that's fair.
That's fair. I wouldn't want to go downriver either.
Yeah, it was a long trip. And listen, the dinner started with my family at 7, which means if I want to be back up in time for Game of Thrones at 9,
it was never
going to happen.
Yeah.
So I quite shamefully told them I had to work and justified in my mind by saying, well, I have to do Winter Has Come on Tuesday. I guess I am working by watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, blame it on me.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, outside of that, no, it was a good esports weekend. Tuned in, watched a little bit of Street Fighter League. Looking forward to talking about that. NPL was going on over the weekend. That was nice. People actually tuned in on Sunday. That was cool.
Did people actually show up to the arena?
literally, it's kicking off right on Sunday. Yeah. And the person on the microphone is like, let's pan to the, like trying to get the crowd hyped. And I'm like, oh, don't pan to the crowd.
Oh, no.
I don't want to see this. And they pan like, oh, there's people.
Oh, there's people.
And they have signs and they look excited.
That's probably why they said, let's pan to the crowd.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. I'm worried that they might have been paid to be there. Like that kind of like rent a crowd sort of service.
Paid actors.
I have no evidence that that's the case.
But it felt
outside of the fact that I don't know that if anyone else is there the rest of the weekend. So,
I mean, you know, we had watched the first day on Thursday.
Yeah. And it was
dead.
Like, not just dead. Like, there was maybe an audience that probably held 400 to 500. It looked like.
Nah, those were the guys Those were the guys who work in the spectator room, and they were taking a break.
I truly believe they were the popcorn vendors.
I fully believe
that. Yeah, they were absolutely the popcorn or drink vendors, and they were just sitting out because there was no one to sell to.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing: is that I had been watching the NPL week over week. That OGN arena is empty, and I did check
every time,
and I did check on ticket sales. It's not like they're not ticketing for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I feel bad because obviously they've put a lot of effort, a lot of work, a lot of production effort into making PUBG esports very legitimate.
It looks great.
It's probably one of the top notch esports presentations that I've seen. It's just you have to invest so much more than other games have to. There is no way that a battle royale scene exists in a small format.
But it feels like this whole league was just a big mistake. Definitely at
this
scale.
There are times where I sit there and I wonder, like, you know, man, did they miss their opportunity? Did they not strike when the iron was hot?
And I also think they went too big too fast.
That's what it was.
They went too big too fast.
People are watching. They just don't want to go.
Do just North America, and you pluck the different teams from around the world, and you say, okay, this is what we're doing.
But how do you shrink that production size?
No, I'm not saying you can shrink the production size. But what I'm saying is you have multiple of these productions around the world.
That's true.
Do one.
That's true. See, I you may be right on that one. Going the kind of regional format with a different European and Korean
the competitive scene's not there yet.
I just don't think that it is. I mean, well,
people
I think actually
that Korea didn't enter like League of Legends until I think season 3.
The talent is there, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you saw that in the parody over the weekend at the face of Global Summit. The thing is that it feels like within North American esports that there is enough room for another competitive professional video game, right? You've got Overwatch, which has kind of pumped itself up to success. You've got League of Legends, which was an organic success accelerated by Riot and a lot of investment.
The
and
FGC, you've got, which is pretty successful.
You've got the FGC, which is almost all organic.
Yep.
Yeah.
Outside of
there's almost no infrastructure whatsoever.
Almost zero infrastructure. That, I mean, to me, that is all the most kind of like underground-ish. Like,
you know, if we did like a sliding scale of esports, where, you know, over here in the top corner is like high engagement, low investment, and over here would be the opposite. Yeah, you put FGC here and, like, you know, I guess you would put PUBG in the other corner.
That's exactly
it. Low engagement, high investment.
But the thing is that, you know, like, you can kind of do that for an FGC production where you can't do that for, you know.
No way.
It's not 99 separate competitors. It's 64 separate competitors. But, I mean, it's still, that's very difficult to do.
Yeah.
There's no, like, think about how does one produce that in sort of a DIY basement of your college dorm room.
It's like not possible.
It's not. There's no way. It's only possible when facilitated.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is that if you know that that's what it takes to set up that kind of, you know, viewer experience, then why try to replicate that viewer experience? First of all, an unproven viewer experience, right? You'll get views on Twitch, but does it make money? Does it bring people out to spend money to buy the game, to buy the skins, etc.?
Right.
Right? So you have an unproven model. Why would you try to expand it 6, 7, 8 times, like eightfold, instead of just tackling it in one region and seeing can it even work?
Yeah, let's get it right in North America first and then move on.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the short-sightedness. But, I mean, when you have, though, you know, what League of Legends has been able to do and sort of like the established esports, you want to try to mirror that as possible.
Yeah, because at the same time, you don't want to fall into the pitfall that we just saw with Apex Legends, where it's like, even though it's an unfair standard, they needed to be keeping up with Fortnite modernly versus where they started. So it is kind of a catch-22.
It is. It's very difficult. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a competitive scene out there.
It is, and I don't know what other esport besides, you know, Fortnite that can literally say this was grassroots. Like at least the desire for it is grassroots, and I think that the longer that Fortnite doesn't get it together, the easier it will be for something else to come. I think PUBG shot they shot and it just didn't work.
No. You're right. Any battle royale can come in, and if they come in with a plan for an organized esports scene and do it very quickly and do it very well, then
there's room.
You can how many times can Epic get away with giving away $100 million? Like, that's only a plan that can work once, twice, maybe three times.
And it's not even like the international where it's crowds.
Exactly.
That's the thing is World Cup is going to be proving grounds for Fortnite. Like,
it very
Epic.
Much is.
Get it right. We'll pay the price.
Very much. Did you just quote the solution shorts?
He did.
I sure did.
Yes,
not
he did.
Purposefully, but it was like,
it happened.
I watched that show so much as a kid. Yeah, as soon as I said get it right, pay the price. Like, my brain was like, oh.
Actually, I want to make a correction. It is technically crowdsourced in Fortnite through microtransactions.
Yeah. Technically, but not because their profit margin was just astronomical.
But not like specifically targeted to fund that tournament in the same way.
Anyway, getting back to
that's what I did this weekend.
Yeah, getting back to our weekends, Norris, what did you get up to over the weekend?
So basically, usually my family there's two Easter gatherings, my dad's side, my mom's side. Usually my mom's side is pretty small, my dad's side is a bunch of people, so I decided to forego my dad's side for Easter because I just hung out with them for some other family stuff. So I was like, I'm going to kick it with my mom, and usually my mom cooks something for like me and my girlfriend, some of my aunts or whatever.
Sure.
But she kind of was not feeling it this year, and I was just like, all right, I'll cook. And so I cooked everything for Easter this year.
What'd you end up cooking?
Oh, man, some string beans, some potatoes, and some nice little pasta salad, and some macaroni and cheese, and some chicken breast with the asparagus.
I haven't had food yet today. I am getting really hungry.
You getting hungry?
Yeah.
I had something else.
Also, because this fan threw a crab at Hungry Box, so now I'm like, man, shellfish sounds great.
That was such
only
a weird story.
Only in the FGC.
Yeah, it's true.
Is there any significance behind that?
No. It's not even like
why
in Boston where like they would throw like
where you could
crabs.
Easily find a crab or something like that. Like,
I was very confused.
Were they trying to say like, Hungry Box, you're crabby? Like, what?
What is that?
I don't know.
I want to know, like, why did he have it? He brought it to throw at someone. There's no way he was just like, what can I throw? Oh, I have that crab.
Can we not make that a thing? Because like in Detroit, we made thrown octopus.
The octopus.
Yeah, thrown octopus. Where do you even buy a f***ing octopus
anyway?
Frostbite was, next year, we're all throwing crabs.
No!
No!
Stop it!
If there was something we would throw, it would be octopi.
No!
Yeah. No, that's a hockey thing.
Well, we'll throw Cartier frames then up there. That's what we'll do.
To that point, though, they're not trying to hit the players with the octopus. They just throw it on the ice.
Yeah, no.
That said, 2 points if you hit a player, so...
Where the f*** do you buy octopus?
There was like one seafood place that you could go and get a whole octopus.
I mean, you know, during playoff time, there was someone opening a little, you know, a pop-up stand selling octopus to throw.
Specifically for that.
Octopus.
It just seems a little cruel.
Lloyd says, Kingler, I choose you.
Oh, wow.
Wrong tournament. Robbie, what did you get up to?
So, you know, like the rest of you, I had to go spend Easter with a family. Your family or hers? I actually put it on Katie to decide.
A family?
Yep, I put it on Katie to decide. She's like, I feel bad, though, that we never go to your families. And I'm like, well, if you want to, we'll go. But we didn't, because it's like a two-hour drive, and I don't think she wanted to tell her family, like, no, we're not, you know, showing up.
But we didn't.
So I let my grandma know, because that's where the festivities end up happening. And in the middle of dinner at Katie's, my mom calls. And so, like, at the table, because my phone wasn't off, it usually is. So I answer, because I see it's my mom, and you can hear her through the phone. Where you at? How come you're not here?
Oh, no.
So I'm not going to throw Katie under the bus in front of her family and be like, Katie didn't want to come. So I had to take it.
So you're just going to do it on national radio.
Yeah, yeah. So I ended up being like, look, it's a two-hour drive. We'll come over for it. You guys get the next holiday, basically. And then other than that, we did a whole lot of nothing. I bought Yoshi's Crafted World for Katie the other day, and I haven't seen her since. She is like,
I haven't seen her since.
Yeah, she's just on her Switch. Like, I try to ask her, she's but other than that,
so she really likes it.
Yeah,
is what you're saying.
That's good. Yeah, yeah,
that's good.
Saw Hellboy. You don't have to see it in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Pet Sematary. You can skip that
one.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Pet Sematary.
You can just go ahead and skip.
Those two movies I had no desire to.
Wait till you find
watch.
On a plane.
Yeah. Pet Sematary is a great plane movie. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that way.
That's what they said about Final Destination. They were lying.
I wouldn't watch either of those films on an airplane.
I mean, I would watch Hellboy immediately. That's a great airplane movie.
It was
a
lot bloodier than the Perlman ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Was Mila Jovovich awesome?
She was.
Okay.
Yeah. What is Mila Jovovich? How is
Jojovich.
Yeah.
Jojovich.
Mila Jojo.
Mila Jojovich.
What does she play in that?
She's the main antagonist. She's the Blood Queen.
Oh.
When is she not awesome, though?
She's always awesome.
You.
Exactly.
I don't know.
The only thing that made Resident Evil watchable.
Fifth Element is on Netflix now, by the way.
How did you...
I'm watching it tonight.
Hang on. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe. You've watched every Resident Evil movie, correct?
I have as well.
Yes, I have seen them all.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Because of Mila Jovovich.
Because she was in it every time.
That's not a compelling enough reason.
It's a compelling enough reason for Fast and Furious.
Now, Robbie, were there any of them that you genuinely like enjoyed? Any of the Resident Evil movies?
Like as Resident Evil movies?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No. Like, I didn't sit down like, yeah, I'm going to watch the newest Resident Evil. I'm like... Yeah, I'm going to watch Mila Jojo kill some zombies. Nothing else matters.
I genuinely liked Nemesis and all the other ones I thought were pretty crap.
Okay, so perfect example, right? John Wick. None of those are good movies. Those are not good movies.
I love John Wick.
But you love John Wick movies. Why? Because it's Keanu Reeves whooping ass
and he has
for 90
recently
minutes.
Said, and he has recently said he will make John
he'll
Wick
do his,
movies
he'll do as
many,
of many
times as they
for.
Let him do it.
I love it.
I've never seen a John Wick.
You bug it. John Wick movies are awesome. I've never seen people die so creatively.
And you saw Final Destination.
Seriously. I love, dude, John Wick movies are one of the old movies me and my dad both watch, and like, we're both sitting there like,
you know exactly what
like,
to expect,
like going
man.
In, like marking out, like both
yeah.
of us.
Yeah, between Hobbs and Shaw and John Wick 3, dude, I am
Hobbs.
Ready for
Yo,
some stupid action movies.
Yo, this is the year of content, bro.
Hobbs
2019, that's how I know 2020 is over, because we ain't got no more years of content this heavy, no more. This
True.
Is it.
How do you top it?
How do you
I
top
don't
this
know.
Year?
I don't know.
Exactly.
We're not gonna. It's not gonna get topped until 2032.
flat out. Time.
No, I don't think I've ever seen a Fast and Furious movie either.
Really? Ever in my life.
I've seen about
I have so much better to do with my time than watch Fast and Furious.
Hold on, I'm making him watch all of them.
I don't blame you, Nate, because the first few...
In chronological order.
Yeah, see, here it is. Because the first few, they're just they're stupid car movies, right?
Yeah, the first
two
are...
What makes Fast and Furious
I think I saw the first one, and that was it.
What makes Fast and the Furious
Fast 5 is when it jumped the shark.
And see, that's what you need the context for.
Yeah.
What made it such a cultural phenomenon is like the metamorphosis it's gone through.
Yes.
Right?
Was
like,
where you could literally
watch Hobbs and Shaw now and be like, oh yeah, that came from the Fast and the Furious.
You don't.
No.
It started literally as a inner city street racing crime drama.
That said,
and now it's a superhero
movie.
If Nate's only seen the first one, he should see Hobbs and Shaw and just sit there and how did we get from A to B? How?
No. Wait till they go to space, then make him watch that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm still holding out hope they go to space in Hobbs and Shaw.
Wait until they bring in the Fast and Furious multiverse.
Jesus. I've
never been less interested in seeing a movie franchise ever in my life. Dude, thank you, guys.
I saw the first two movies and checked out until Fast 5. Going like, oh, The Rock's in it? Cool, I guess I'll see it.
5 is when they made a decision that...
We don't care anymore. We're just going to do whatever we want.
Ludacris became a technopath.
I don't think I've seen...
Tyrese became almost inhumanly incompetent and strong at the same time.
I
only saw the last one in theaters, and I don't even remember like how I watched all of them, but I think just at some point when I was just really depressed, I'm like, what am I gonna watch now? Let's go through the Fast and the Furious movies. Then by the end I'm like, I don't think I could get that depressed. This has been
a ritual for me and my crew for a decade.
I don't think I could get that depressed. I think I would. I'd get depressed enough to start going through the extended edition Lord of the Rings movies.
Ooh.
And I get halfway through and I'm like, my depression doesn't have this kind of attention span. Like my depression, yeah. My depression needs Adderall to be able to finish this movie marathon.
You need to hear Paul Walker say, pockets ain't empty, cuz. You need to hear him say that.
I absolutely do not.
Yes, you
There's
do.
There's nothing. I've never been more certain I need anything less in my life.
Hold on. I just thought about something. You guys remember in, was it season 3 of Game of Thrones where Arya was at Harrenhal, I believe. Season 3 or 4. Where Arya
This is an interesting jump.
No, listen, like, I'm waiting to see where this goes.
Listen, where Arya was in Harrenhal.
Yeah.
And you remember
turn.
When they took the bucket and they put a rat in it and they put it on my man's chest and set it on fire?
Yeah.
That torture scene came from the second Fast and Furious movie.
Right into
it came from Too Fast, Too Furious.
They did
that bit.
I couldn't remember if it was Too Fast, Too Furious or Gone in 60 Seconds, but I knew it was one of those two movies that torture scene came out of.
Put some respect on them movies, man.
Listen.
When Game of Thrones is taken from Fast and Furious.
That
they probably
everyone
took
knows.
That from history.
Everyone knows that originated in
Twin Peaks.
No, the 1960s classic, The Guy from Harlem.
We really don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
Nate, what'd you do over the weekend?
I saw Pet Sematary, and then I didn't get out of bed on Saturday.
Hold on.
I did not get out of bed on Saturday.
Didn't
it was
see
great.
It alone.
I know. I had a date. It was good.
How'd it go?
It was good.
It's happening.
What did you think of Pet Sematary?
Neither of us thought it was terribly great.
Okay. So
it was not a terribly great movie.
I really liked the remake of It.
Yeah.
Did you like the remake of It?
I liked the remake of It.
So it's not as good as that remake.
There was not enough of what made It awesome in this remake to justify seeing it.
That's fair. Like, although I did, the little girl looks like she's creepy AF.
Wait and see it on the plane, Joe.
She's a great actress because she does, you know, like endearing really well when she's not a zombie.
Yeah.
And then she does kind of, you know, creepy terrifying very well when she is.
Oh,
so
okay.
I mean,
well,
she's
I like that.
Very good in it. John Lithgow is in it.
What?
Yeah, John Lithgow plays the
role of Third Rock of the Sun.
Yes. He plays the role that the guy who played Herman Munster played in the original. The old guy?
That road? Yeah. A lot of history down that road.
See, now, here's my biggest problem with it, is that there was not enough main accents in there to, you know, like, there's some trouble down that road. Yeah. There was none of that. None of that, because John Lithgow was being very much John Lithgow. I don't know if
67, three people died down that road. Then 72, three more people died down that road.
There's a cadence, right? Yeah. He had none of that.
Oh, like, and that's disappointing.
And I don't know if they put aging makeup on him or they just put no makeup on him. But
say, well, which one's worse?
Is rough. In that movie specifically, like, he's got the spider veins and just like, I mean, he is old.
Yeah.
I
get why they didn't have him doing the accent, because everyone would have immediately been like, oh, Stephen King trope number 14. Got it.
Well, but it's set in Derry, Maine. So you should have that very like East Coast accent somewhere in there. And no, there was not one character in the entire film that
to be
that.
Fair, that is not an easy accent to nail.
But you got to get someone who can do it. It is important.
It takes some time. But it's iconic to the work of Stephen King.
True that.
So, like, why you would...
God, how many books did he set in Maine?
Almost all of them.
I was like...
I mean, specifically Derry, Maine where most of them are.
It's
clearly the worst place on Earth.
Was Salem's Lot in Maine?
No. Well, that's a good question. Where is Salem's Lot? Because I think that's an actual place.
I think Christine was set in the Rust Belt.
North Carolina?
There's not very many of it. Like, because Firestarter's in Maine.
Yes, it is.
Misery's in Maine.
Misery
is it? I thought Misery was, like, in Colorado.
I don't think so.
No.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking
of? No.
That's The Shining.
That's The Shining.
Where the hotel actually is.
Yep. Jerusalem's Lot, Maine.
Jerusalem's Lot, Maine. Yep, that's it.
Okay. Wow. Most of his books are definitely.
It's a particular accent, but you know what? If you're doing Stephen King, it's an important touch to have.
It's true. I mean, it's like if you're doing Michael Crichton, you better ask whether or not scientific research has gone too far.
All right. Well, listen. We want to hear from you. What was your weekend up to? What did you get up to? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, with Endgame nearly upon us, we'll go over a list ranking the Marvel Cinematic Universe from worst to best. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, the first week of Street Fighter League has been held last week. How did it go? We'll discuss that ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Last week, we were treated to the first week of the new Street Fighter League. For those who don't remember, Capcom announced the new league in January of this year, and it's now officially underway. So, Norris, I got to turn it over to you. What did you think of this new format?
I thought this was really, really interesting, and I thought it was something that kind of did bring a little bit of freshness to the Street Fighter scene. I mean, we've been on Street Fighter V now for about 4 seasons. So, I mean, it's time for him to mix something up. So, essentially, the way this works is this is 6 teams of 3. The captains of each team were the top finishers in North America. So, the top 6 finishers in North America became team captains. Then they had special online qualifiers, and then some fans voted in some fighters as well. And they had a draft. That was the first week. There was no play. It was just that draft of specific players. So after that, here's the kicker. You ban a character at the start of each match.
Yeah.
Oh, picks and bans?
Really?
Yeah. Oh. So this was the thing that going into it I was the most curious to see about, because when I think of a fighting game, it is the last place that I want to see picks and bans. But I got to say, in this 3v3 team format, it kind of works.
And the reason why it kind of works is because, first of all, you still have two other people to lean on. If you had picks and bans in a 1v1 tournament,
that'd be insane.
So you only ban a single character.
Yeah. You ban a single character. So that forces one of those people in that team to play a character that is not their main.
Right.
So it behooves you to have a secondary.
So, I mean, this is highly dependent on knowing your opponent.
Yes, absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Also, you can't have the same character being played by two people on the same team.
Yes. So no matter what, you're seeing three different characters on a team. There's no duplicate.
Now, when you started saying that, I thought you meant that they had outlawed mirror matchups, which I thought,
that's a bold move. That would be a bold move, and I think also an insane move.
I would think that would be nuts. So what kind of impact do we see this having on the meta?
Yeah, like is it actually substantive? Because it kind of feels to me like it's just a random rule to throw in there.
Unless you know your opponent very, very well, that this is just kind of like a shot in the dark sort of thing.
No, it is. And here's the thing. So you have somebody like Punk, right? Punk is one of the captains of one of the teams. So it's like Justin Wong. He's a captain of another team. Mm-hmm. Punk is known for his Karen play. Justin Wong is known for his Monat. Now, those two guys are some of the best in the world. So you think about the other two guys on the team, they're going to have to pick up the slack of that pro player.
Sure.
Not playing their main, unless you're somebody like Punk, who has a secondary. So the thing is, when Punk was going up against some players in his match, he's able to compensate because he knows more than one character.
Right.
Justin Wong had a harder time because Monat is a character he's really, really good with. He's bordering on a one trick.
So it seems like, really, to have an advantage in this league, you can't be a one trick. You've got to be, you've got to have a pretty deep roster of characters that you're at least passable with, or else you risk getting your main banned every single time.
It definitely behooves you to have at least a secondary that you can play well. We saw that, Toy, who got his main banned out and had to play Birdie, and he was terrible. Yeah.
He was absolutely terrible because his Bison got banned. Now, here's the thing, and the second part of the strategy is that he drafted well. So the other two guys on his team, who are also character specialists, specialize in characters that'll probably never be banned.
Interesting. So that's a really interesting impact on how the meta ends up working, especially with the dynamic of having two other players that you can rely on.
Now, the way they handled the bans, I was kind of and not kind of a fan. Like, I like the concept, but before the match begins, they have the announcer doing a little bit of trash talk between the two people who are getting ready to play, the two team captains. They announce their bans and kind of have a little graphic that shows
like the order.
Right, but then whenever you get into character select, like, if you didn't catch that moment, you would have no idea who got banned. When you get into character select, you're just like, wait, why is, you know, he not picking Bison?
And if this is a Capcom tournament, you would think that they would have that ability to put that in.
Dude, they have the graphics, so really it's just creating another OBS scene.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports 1360 WSAI in Cincinnati, Ohio, as well as Talk Radio 1360 KKBJ in Bemidji, Minnesota. We're talking about the new Street Fighter League format, and we got to talk about commentary.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about the commentary that was running on this?
So you got
Yeah, you got Vicious on play-by-play and Tasty Steve on color commentary. I don't know a lot about Vicious. To be fair, you know, you've watched a lot more FGC than I have, but I thought Tasty Steve was really entertaining. That said, I don't think they've casted together a lot because they have a lot of jokes that are not landing.
No, they have not. And I think it's still important that if you kind of want this to be the duo, they'll have to build that organically. So they should get a lot better as time goes on. But you're not going to, you know what I'm saying, get, you know, Yipes and, you know, Sajam and, you know what I'm saying, James Chin and
those guys. Is this actually going to be the team moving forward? Like, is it only going to be these two voices every single
time? We don't know, because the thing is this was the first match of actual play.
Gotcha.
So we're not sure if next week that, you know, is going to be the same team.
Do you think that they need a deeper roster of commentary talent?
no, I actually think you give these two a chance to build the chemistry.
Yeah, I think I would agree. So talking about like production, like overall, I thought the production on this was pretty stellar.
Yeah.
A couple things. The lack of the live audience is
that
noticeable.
That was such a momentum killer.
Because the live audience is just the other competitors who are also there waiting their turn. So yeah,
and we've experienced this in person before too. When we attended
the Rocket League Universal Open
yeah. out in Connecticut.
Yeah.
That, you know, there was no live audience for that. That was in a TV studio. And while the production values were really good, I think it did suffer in terms of enthusiasm and overall production. Like, there's something that's really lost in taking out the live audience aspect.
I would agree, but at the same time, I also recognize that, you know, as a production, you kind of want to get it right the first time.
That's fair.
Work out all the kinks and stuff and really build the audience.
So overall, what are your thoughts on week one? What are you expecting here in week two?
I thought it was really fun. It was a good time. They need to do away with the cuts to the coach right after a match ends. It's so super jarring. They got to get rid of that. Other than that, I thought it was really strong.
Yeah, I think as a broadcast, we're saying maybe 7.5 out of 10. It could be a lot better, but I see room for it, and I see it making a niche for itself in the FGC.
All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Were you watching the Street Fighter League? Connect with us on social media. Tell us what you think. Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, with Endgame nearly upon us, we've got a list ranking MCU movies from the worst to the best. We'll go over that list and try to guess the top five ahead next here on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP.
Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on the Fanatic in Philadelphia, as well as everyone listening on ESPN Pittsburgh. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. It's opening weekend for Avengers Endgame, and to celebrate, we've got a list ranking the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's happening!
From worst to best. A little late on that one. The list comes courtesy of Screen Ran and has been updated to reflect every movie leading up to Endgame. So what we thought we would do is we would list our top five movies,
yep,
and see how much of our top five exists in Screen Rant's top five.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
So Norris, what are your top five MCU movies?
My top five in no particular order.
Okay.
You got Winter Soldier. All right. You got Black Panther. You got Iron Man 1. You got Avengers 1. You got Infinity War.
I don't think Iron Man 1 ages that well.
It's not about how much it ages. It's about it's the foundation for everything that came afterwards.
Fair enough. All right. Robbie, how about you?
All right. Like Norris, Winter Soldier. All right. Okay. That's obviously a real solid pick. I'm going to say Guardians Volume 1, because it was the first untested property that they did.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Homecoming, because nobody thought they could do it after all the other franchises that have came before.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Avengers 1.
Yeah.
And then, man, my last one, I had a tough time, but I think I'm going to have to go with Captain Marvel.
Okay. Really? Okay. All right. Okay. Interesting. Okay. So my top five in no particular order, because ordering them would be impossible.
Yes.
Doctor Strange.
Come on.
The mind bending effects were amazing.
Doctor Strange.
Ant-Man, just for Paul Rudd. Just Paul Rudd being Paul Rudd. Just go ahead. Be more Paul Rudd. The Hulk. I put that in my top five because I actually enjoyed that movie.
No. The rest is annoying garbage.
Black Panther.
Okay.
And Infinity War.
Okay.
All right.
Joe, how about you?
Already saw the list. I don't think it'd be very fair for me to do one.
Okay.
I already know what the list is. So these are courtesy of Screen Rant. We're going to say, start number 21.
All right.
The worst of them, Iron Man 2.
Okay, I accept this. I accept
I liked Iron Man 2.
No, I accept it.
I had to put Thor 2. I recently rewatched Iron Man 2. Definitely not the best, but better than I remembered it.
Thor the Dark World is number 20.
Okay.
Fair. Number 19, the first one that made me super mad, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
No! No!
I disagree.
It's the last I haven't seen that. It's the last one I got to see.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Number 18, Avengers Age of Ultron.
I know that that's people's least favorite, but I wouldn't have put it that low.
I wouldn't have put it below the Hulk.
Number 17, The Incredible Hulk.
I understand why people don't like it, but I actually really enjoyed it.
Number 16, another one that made me very angry, Thor Ragnarok.
Oh,
they bug it.
16.
Criminal.
No Ragnarok is a top 10.
Criminal. Yeah, yes, it was almost
at
high
least
five.
Top 15.
It
at
was
least.
A top 10. Come on.
Number 15, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Boo.
I actually didn't like Guardians 2 that much. I liked Guardians 1 a lot.
Guardians 1 was strong. Was I'm definitely cool. A stronger flick.
I'm cool with
for
Guardians
sure.
2 there.
Number 14. Again, I was angry. Ant-Man.
No way!
I loved Ant-Man.
I definitely think that Ant-Man is one of the strongest properties.
Number 13. Captain Marvel.
I'm okay
this
with
this is
that.
What I said for me. Captain Marvel is dead center of the MCU.
Middle
so 13's about right for me.
Yeah.
Number 12. Thor. Thor should not be above Thor Ragnarok.
That's
There's
fair.
No
that's,
way.
That's ridiculous.
Yep.
Thor, are you
that's
kidding
ridiculous.
Me?
Yeah, no.
Number 11, Iron Man 3.
See, I'd have put this lower.
Iron Man 3 is way too
high. Yeah, I would have put Iron Man 3 lower.
I liked Iron Man 2 more than I liked Iron Man 3.
I did as well.
I don't know about that. All right. That
I mean,
brings
the whole Mandarin thing was pretty clever.
Well,
sure, but when you find out that Killian was put in because that they wanted to be able to sell more toys.
Yeah, no, I know. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR 560 AM and 95.9 FM, as well as 103.9 in Lexington, Kentucky. We're currently going through a list that ranks from worst to best the MCU movies.
We disagree.
We're so far
we're not happy
vehemently disagreeing with the suppositions here.
All right, here's our top 10. Number 10, Doctor Strange.
Yes.
I'm okay with that.
I loved Doctor
Strange. I'm okay with that.
I understand why Doctor Strange would not be necessarily like top 5 for some people, but
top 10.
Totally.
Yep. Number 9, Iron Man.
Yep.
The original.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And you know, for similar reasons, like you had said, Norris, it's what started the whole thing. So for, you know, for legacy and for, you know,
foundational content.
Absolutely.
Number 8, Captain America, the First Avenger. I'd put that below Iron Man. I thought Iron Man was a better one than that.
I like the fact that the First Avengers basically a period.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
I like that.
It's a nice touch, and you know, a lot of the visual effects that they did specifically with small Steve Rogers was pretty impressive.
Pretty amazing.
Number 7, Black Panther.
Way too low.
Number 7.
Way too low. Wait, it's got a damn Oscar.
I know. It got
two
number
of
7.
Them. That it does seem fairly low.
I agree.
For as well as it did in the box office, for as well as it did in awards, that definitely is top 5 category for me.
Number 6, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
That's fair.
I loved it. It would have been top 5 for me, but
I'm okay with it at 6.
Number 5, Avengers Infinity War.
Okay.
So anyone who has Infinity War on there, you got a point. Yep.
Hang on. At 5?
At number 5, they've got Infinity War.
That is shocking.
Yep.
That's shocking.
Number 4, Avengers.
Okay.
All right, that's another point. Number 3, Captain America, Civil War.
I was this close to putting Civil War.
See, Civil War was another one of my, like, right at number 5.
I was
5.
This close, but I swapped Civil War for Infinity War.
Dude, I was not into Civil War.
I love Civil War.
I was
Civil
specifically
War,
for Black Panther hawking down
AKA,
Bucky.
AKA Avengers 3.5.
Yeah.
That's
great. 2.5.
That's kind of how I see it, like, when I think of it in my head. I think of it more of an Avengers flick.
Was Civil War where Cap fought all them people in the elevator?
No, that's Winter Soldier.
Which we'll be getting to.
Which is an amazing sequence, by the way.
Number 2, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Mm.
I cannot argue with it.
I can't argue against it.
Spider-Man impressed me so much.
And the thing, you know, when I was making my top five, I think I blanked that film out because it's like, because
you think of it as a Sony flick.
You're absolutely right. And maybe that's just from being too close to knowing all of the production insides and outs. But like, yeah,
they made the Vulture cool.
They did.
Number one, Captain America,
Winter Soldier. I can't argue with it.
Mm-hmm. It was really good. It's hard to argue. I missed the first time around somehow.
I mean, it's hard to argue. If you've seen, you know, a Jason Bourne movie, you've basically seen the Winter Soldier.
A good Jason Bourne
movie. And here's the thing. Someone pointed this out to me that, you know, had they done the whole Skrulls thing the way that Skrulls were done in the comic, that it would have ended up mirroring the Winter Soldier plotline too much, which is why they made them refugees, and that's an actually much more updated, smarter commentary. All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. What did you think of this list? Do you agree with it or not? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow with the latest in esports and gaming news. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And of course, my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.